Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 John chapter 5. We will not be beginning there, but we will eventually get there. But that was where I sort of began this message from, so that's why that's the portion of scripture that we'll be thinking about. I've said it in our Bible studies a number of times that if you want to be called a marathon runner, you actually have to finish the marathon. If you set out to run 26.2 miles of a race and you ran 20 miles of that race, no one would justifiably call you a marathon runner. It's not those that start the race that are called marathoners, it's those that finish the race. That is the way it is. It doesn't make a difference if you set out to learn how to drive a motorcycle until you actually learn how to do it and ride one. You can't be called someone that rides a motorcycle. That's the way things work. That's the way it is with being a Christian as well. You may call yourself one, but if you start out and you don't finish the race, if you don't finish the course, then guess what? You were never a Christian. You were never someone that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, because those that do finish the course. They finish the race. The Bible talks about those individuals in a particular way. The Bible talks about them as those that have overcome. Those that have overcome the things of life. And that's word, that overcome word, is the word we're going to be looking at this evening. It's mentioned a number of times throughout the New Testament, and we're not going to be looking at every one of those, but I want you to build a bit of a theme for you. So I'm not going to ask you to turn to the book of Revelation, because I'm not going to be reading directly all through the passage, but I'm going to read what Jesus says to those that have continued to trust him through immense difficulties in the seven churches that are in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. So I'm going to be reading some verses that you can listen to and hear that word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, as you hear those verses, each one of those verses is about the end of things. It's about when your course is finished, when your life is over. Jesus is talking about when you have finished your race, as it's often called. When death has finally rung its bell for you. Are you a Christian or are you not? And to Jesus, those that are, they are the ones that overcome. They are the ones that have had faith through the difficulties. Now, one thing that overcoming does not mean is a change of circumstances. It doesn't mean that if you're poor and you have faith, you're suddenly going to become wealthy. It doesn't mean that if you're ill and you have faith, you're suddenly going to become well. It doesn't mean that your family has fallen apart and if you have faith, it's all going to get put back together again. That's not what he's talking about. Overcoming is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on. It doesn't mean that he will then give you a change of circumstances, But what it means is he will give you peace in the midst of circumstances. That because you trust him, you know that he has what's best for you in mind. Even though you may not agree. Even though you may not feel like what's happening is best. Now sometimes that's difficult. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around that idea when you see things and it feels horrible. It feels miserable. It feels like the worst thing that can possibly happen. You say, well, how is this what's best for me? Well, the difficulty is that we can't see all the things that God sees. We can't see all the picture. We can't see all of the moving parts and all the things that twist and meet and fit together. If you are a parent, you experience some of that with your children. Because when they're very young, they don't have a clue how things work. And you as a parent have to make sure that they're well taken care of. Regardless of what they may think of the situation, you know better than they do. Now, if you're not a parent, some of you are quite young, and thankfully are not parents, maybe have a pet. And you see things that the pet doesn't see. You see things that happen, like we have a dog, Pepper. And Pepper has no clue where the roads begin and where the roads end. And so what do we have? We have a lead, and we keep her on that lead. Or we train her to stop when we're coming near a road. Why? Because we know better than she does. She's just going to run out into the middle of the street, and she might get hit by a car. Now, certainly, you've experienced, as you're driving down the road, animals that are dead by the side of the road, because they didn't know that cars were coming. Whether it was somebody's pet, whether it was a bird that was hit, whether it was some other sort of animal. We've all seen that. Why? Because they didn't have the bigger picture. That's the idea behind what God sees and what God does as opposed to us. So that the circumstances that we think are horrible, God might say, you know what, this is the best thing for you because it's keeping you from this. It's keeping you from being plastered by that car in the road. Hypothetically, metaphorically speaking. So overcoming doesn't mean that suddenly you're going to have some victory and your circumstances are going to change. No, victory by faith is all about trusting when your circumstances are still the same. When your circumstances haven't improved, if you will. Overcoming is about finishing the race that you've begun. Still trusting when everything else seems like it's just rubbish. And you still trust Christ. You still follow after him. You see, that last verse that I read, it's Jesus speaking to these churches, and he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You see, Jesus was the forerunner of the faithful. He is the one that showed us the path to follow after him. And he overcame. He trusted his Father in heaven. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he was fully God and fully man, but he, as a man, had to trust the Father. And when he's in the garden and he's praying and he's asking the Father if it's possible to take this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, that was faith. Trusting the Father's will instead of his human will, because as a human being, he didn't want to die. But he knew, as the Son of God, that that was what was necessary to save his people from their sins. And so he said, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, Father, even when this is horrible all around me. And the next day it got worse, when he's nailed to the cross. And he trusted, and he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He was trusting. And guess what he did? He overcame. Now, he certainly didn't overcome the circumstances, did he? He was put in the grave. No, but he overcame sin. And he overcame death to all who believe. Because on the third day, he proved it by rising again. Jesus overcame, and not only did he overcome, but he promises to those that trust him that he will do the same for them. In John 16, he's speaking to the disciples, but it's to all those who trust him and follow him. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, he didn't say that because of me, the world is going to treat you nicely. He didn't say that because of me, they're all going to line up and they're all going to be really kind to you and give you whatever you want. He didn't say because of me, you're going to get all your best wishes. No, he said, I am going to give you my peace. Peace within, regardless of the circumstances, because guess what? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things that don't go your way. But be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. He's had the victory. He's finished it. And now it's just a matter of getting to the end. He overcame. It wasn't a physical victory over the world. It was a spiritual victory. So that we would have peace. Not peace with other people. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But peace with God, which is so much better. It's like when the angel came to tell the shepherds in the field. We just had Christmas 2 weeks ago. And the angel came and told the shepherds in the field. And what happens? He says, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And everybody interprets that. Not everybody, but most people interpret that to mean that it's peace between mankind. That somehow everybody's going to get along better. And people even feel that way during the Christmas season. Oh, isn't everybody being so kind to one another? That is not what the angel was saying to the shepherds. What the angel was saying to the shepherds was that it was peace between God and mankind. That he is sending the one to die for sinners. And that's the only way to have peace with God. That's what Jesus came for. That was his purpose. So then the question becomes, well, how do you overcome? How do you overcome in the difficult circumstances? How is it that you can go from having what seems like your world fall apart to having peace? Well, it is through the new birth. It is through trusting Jesus Christ. That's where the 1 John passage that we read comes in. In chapter 5, in verses 4 and 5, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, this is important to understand. There are all sorts of people that have faith. They have faith in the government. They might have faith in their bank account. They might have faith that they've got a good job. They might have faith in their family. They might have faith in some other God. But that faith will get them nowhere. It will get you absolutely nowhere when it comes to God. When he says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, then he says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's who overcomes the world. It's those that trust Jesus Christ alone. Every other person is going to get trampled by the world. They will not overcome. Their circumstances will do them in. Why? Well, there are things about that passage that are very telling. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them, but just listen to this for a moment. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. See, what you're doing when you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God is you're calling God a liar. You're saying, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're not truthful. There is no salvation to be had in Jesus Christ alone, or there's salvation to be had in Jesus plus other things. When God says it's Jesus Christ alone, you are making God out to be a liar. Why? Because he doesn't believe, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. There's no complication about it. And as you go through life and you have these difficulties and these trials and these tribulations, and this loved one dies and this one's sick and there's fear all over because of a pandemic and all these things are happening and you don't know what you're going to do with yourself, the Bible says, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. That doesn't mean that your loved one isn't going to die. That doesn't mean that the pandemic's going to go away. What you're trusting is that Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you and has died for you and forgiven your sins, and that one day you will be with Him. Eternal life. And it's the only place it's found is in Jesus Christ. And you trust Him, and He gives you peace in the midst of the circumstances. You can read books throughout the centuries of the martyrs, of those that have died for their faith, and they were calmer than I am right now. They were calmer than any of you are. Why? Because they had peace, inward peace, knowing that regardless of what happened to them, they were going to be with Jesus Christ. They were going to overcome. That they had finished their race, and there wasn't a single person that could say they weren't a Christian. That's how you become an overcomer. You trust Jesus Christ. Paul, in Romans 8, this is what we read in our call to worship, he doesn't use the word overcomer, but he says we are more than conquerors in Romans 8. Listen to what he says. What shall we then say to these things? Things that he has said before about God calling and God saving. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on my side, if God has given me His own Son, His own Son has died on my behalf, then what is it that He will withhold from me? What could possibly be better than Jesus Christ? What in the world could be better than Him? If He is the pinnacle of all potential gifts, and He's given Him to me, then what else below that is not worthwhile? I used to go to a restaurant back in the States when I was in secondary school, and I loved the restaurant. It was called the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. And my favorite thing on the menu at the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House was Alaskan King Crab Legs. Now, the great thing about the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House, I don't think it exists anymore. How could it? But the great thing about it was that whatever you ordered on the menu, you could have all you could eat. So if I ordered Alaskan King Crab Legs, I could have as many Alaskan King Crab Legs as I could eat. But anything that was the same price or lower, I could also have. Why? Because it wasn't going to cost them anything extra. If they say, you know what, Chuck, you can have as many king crab legs as you can eat, but oh, you want some frog legs, or you want some shrimp, or you want something else, you want some flounder, and that only costs $10.99, when your Alaskan king crab legs cost $19.99, well, yeah, go ahead, have some flounder. Fill up on all the lower price things you can, because you paid the price for the crab legs. You paid for the most expensive thing. So if you eat all the less stuff, hey, better for us. We're not giving as much out. That's wonderful. That's the idea. If I've paid for the best, then why can't I have the rest? Right? That's exactly what God is saying. If God is for us, if He is so much for us that He gives us His Son, then what good thing will He withhold from me? For my good, what is it that He's going to say no on my behalf? If it's for my benefit, why wouldn't He? He loves me enough to send His Son to die for me. He's not going to hold anything else back. So then, if that's true, then these things that come into my life that are hard, that are difficult, that I can't see my way through, those things are what for me? The best. They're the best for me. Because He's not going to hold back. And if I pray and I say, Lord, take it away, and He doesn't take it away, guess what? It's not because He's being mean. Because He's not being mean, because He's already given me the best thing I could possibly ever have. He's doing it because He loves me. Because it is better for me than the alternative. It's better for me than what else there is. Paul says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not because we're not being slain, not because we don't have tribulation, but because we're trusting the one that gave us his son. And there's nothing better to give. So that these other things that are being given are good for me. They're the best for me. If they weren't, then my loving Heavenly Father wouldn't give them. He'd give me something else. Because if he loves me enough to send his son to die for me, he's not going to hold anything else back. He's not going to stop. He's not going to say, you know what, I gave you this, but all the rest, no, you can't have that. This is the best. There's nothing else that's better. Comes close to, in fact. Why not? I have migraines. I still get them. Guess what? God must think that's better for me than not having them. I don't understand why, but I don't have to understand why. I have to trust. And by trusting him, he gives me peace about the migraines. Because guess what then? I have become more than a conqueror over my migraines, even though they still are coming. How? Because I have peace, knowing that this is best for me. Why? I don't know. Don't ask me that question, because I don't see the whole picture. But I know someone who does. And I know that he gave me his son. So what else is he going to withhold? If it's best for me not to have him, is he going to say, no, Chuck, I'm going to keep sending them to you, even though Jesus Christ died for me? No, he's not going to do that. That would be mean for no reason. But he's a loving God. He's not like me as a father where I fail all the time. He's a perfect father. That's what he's like. And he's going to love me all the time. And all these things, doesn't matter what they are, what difficulty a Christian is struggling with, it's the love of God to you. And you can be more than a conqueror over it. Why? Not because it's changed, not because it's gone, but because it makes you realize the love of God towards you. And you can sit back and say, wow, this is God's love. I don't understand it, but I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's loving me. His hand is upon me. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's trying to list any possible thing that anybody can think of. And he's saying there is nothing that exists in the universe that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. You know what? Boris Johnson can't do anything. The government of the UK can do nothing to separate me from the love of God. Terrorists can do nothing to separate me from the love of God. Migraines can do nothing to separate me from the love of God. A broken foot, a broken leg, whatever it is, it makes no difference how much God loves me. Indeed, it's a sign of God's love that through all these things he gives me his peace. A peace that passes understanding, that other people can't understand. That's what it means. I can't even understand it. Because it's God's peace that dwells within the Christian in the face of circumstances that others would quail at. No, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because we're persuaded that God loves us. You see, that's another sermon altogether there, and I'm probably going to preach it soon. But when Paul says, for I am persuaded, you see, something has happened in Paul's life. You see, Paul, before he was a believer, he knew mentally all about God. He knew the Old Testament better than anybody today could think of. And yet, he didn't know God. Jesus Christ confronts him and he trusts Jesus Christ as a Savior. And what happens? Paul's life starts to fall apart. He starts to go through tribulations and trials that we couldn't understand how you could even survive them. In fact, some people at one point thought he was dead and left him for dead on the street. A few hours later, some of his friends find him and they say, Paul, and they're worried that he's dead. And all of a sudden he gets up. He says, let's go, guys. Let's leave here. They thought he was dead. He's alive. And he walks on. And he says, I am persuaded. See, he went from having a mental knowledge of knowing about God's love, knowing that God was going to be for him. And through all of those circumstances, through all the shipwrecks, through all the whippings, through all the beatings and the stonings and everything else that happened to him, he was persuaded. He was persuaded that God loved him. And that those things were the very best things for him. Not because he was a bad person, not because he needed to have things beaten out of him, but because God loved him and he was going to cause him to grow to be more like his son Jesus Christ. And he became more than a conqueror. He overcame all of those things. Not by changing the circumstances, but by trusting Jesus Christ. By saying at the end of the day, no matter what happens, I know God loves me. I know he loves me because he gave his son for me. And that these things that are coming into my life are the good love of God towards me. And when you know that, there is a peace. That doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a perfect peace all of the time, every single day. You're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. It's going to happen. But that peace is there because of the love of God. And we can trust him and we can follow after the one who died for you, died for sinners. But the question comes back, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ? Because that's the question, isn't it? If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. And so we point you to him today. Amen.